pastry ones here. Girls are just an amazing group of women, and the Lord just wants to show his love. And I think he's been very faithful to his word, and he's met you guys here, and you came with different expectations or needs or wants or whatever, and we've all been praying. We prayed even before retreat that all those things would come to pass that the Lord wanted to accomplish. So we try to take time to come before the Word on Sunday morning and kind of like a present. We kind of take this ribbon and we wrap it up. We want it to be like a beautiful present. Every woman loves. We don't so much care what's in the box, but we love for it to be beautifully gift wrapped, don't you? You know, just one gift under the tree from Nordstrom's, you know? You know, I don't care what's in it, I just want the box. That's what we try to do on a Sunday morning. So we want to take time to get into the Word. We looked at that wonderful chapter in Isaiah 55, and we just want to talk about God's amazing economy. You guys might not think in those terms, but I want to try to have you wrap your mind around God's economy and the Word of God. So let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, this last time that we're gathering around your Word, Lord, we pray that you would be lifted up and be glorified, and that the Word that you want to speak, Lord, that gentle, loving kindness, Lord, those cords, God, that you draw us, those loving, kind cords, God, may your Word just draw us into your presence. May we learn more about you. May we fall more in love with you as we gather around your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we looked at 55, the call to abundant living. Again, we can go back to the main part I want to look at about his thoughts. Verse 8, Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. So we can't really figure out how God wants things done unless we go to his word, right? Even King David, who had God's word, decided that he wanted to move the tabernacle. He wanted to move the ark. Right? So he thought, how can I do that? And he moved the ark, and what happened? It was a disaster. So people died, and it started to jiggle, and somebody went to grab for it, and he got killed, and finally that cart or whatever they had made for it, you know, went over to another country and started blessing these other people, and David was upset. He just wanted to bring that to the Lord, but he didn't do it the right way. And that there's a way that we're supposed to be living according to God's word, and everybody wants to do it their own way. You know, you just hear it all over the place, and really, it's the whole ecumenical movement of all roads lead to God. And you know, on one hand, I agree with that. All roads do lead to God because the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it doesn't really matter what religion you want to align yourself with, you're going to go before the Lord, and you are going to bow your knee. So all roads lead to God, but they don't all lead to heaven. There's one way, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one's going to get to the Father except through me. So we have to believe a certain amount of things to actually make it to heaven and to experience the abundant life on this side of heaven. And one thing that the Lord says, and we should turn there, Hebrews 11:6, and we've looked at this in past study before, but it's very, 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 very important. So let's turn there, Hebrews 11:6, and we'll all read it together. Ready? Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay, so there's an element of faith that has to be present. Because without it, you can't please God. And the whole idea on this side of eternity is our lives are supposed to be pleasing unto the Lord once we accept him. So I'm assuming now that we're all on that page, because everybody's saved in the room, our life here Yeah, abundant, but we've got to be pleasing to the Lord. We've got to find out, how can we please the Lord? And that's where God's economy comes into play. And there's four areas that I want to look at about His economy. First, we have to know who we were. And we have to be real about who we were. Some people say, well, you know, I was a pretty good person. I can confess that I was not a very good person. I mean, you know, you can look however you want to look on the outside. But God looks at the heart. And He looks at the inside. And He says that He can judge the intent and the motives of our thoughts and of our hearts and of our actions. So you may appear to look okay on the outside, but the things that you're doing are really selfish in their origin. So people in the world operating they may think that they're doing a good thing, but truly they're not, because they're not saved. So the origin of it can't be good, because it says God is good. So the origin of these good things that people are trying to do, they appear to look good, and to the world's eyes, they look good. But the underlying thing is that if it's not leading people to the Lord, if it's not bringing salvation, there's a huge chunk of that goodness missing. So you can have lots of good organizations out there that help a lot of people. And are they helping? Yes. But what people need the most is what? Salvation. Because everybody in the whole entire world is on their way to hell with Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So when you come, that's one thing I like about Franklin Graham's ministry, is that he goes to places and he offers all the things that people need physically, food and medical and all that kind of stuff. But the gospel's there. So we have to know who we were, sinners saved by grace. That's why when we sing this Amazing Grace song, you know that almost everybody knows that song? I mean, anybody has sang that song, because there's something true about those words. Saved a wretch like me. I was a wretch. Actually, I'm still a wretch. But it's only by the grace of God that God can look at me through Jesus, and then I'm okay. But on my own, I'm a good person. So once you know who you are, who you were, then we can find out who we are now that we've accepted the Lord. So that's where we want to turn to Ephesians. This is familiar. This is not unfamiliar territory. This is just reminding you who you are in the Lord. Important. And the reason it's so important is that even when we're Christians, when we've accepted the Lord, it says that our heart's deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? So our heart lies to us, and then the devil, who is the father of lies, he lies to us. And so your heart condemns you, the enemy condemns you, and then before you know it, you're condemning yourself. And so you have to go back to the Word, and you have to know who you are in Christ. So we're going to read that. It's Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with," what's He blessed us with? "Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us all in wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, and being predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end we were who the first were the first to hope in Christ and should be to the praise of His glory. in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and also in believe that you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, given as a pledge, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So if you start, I mean, you could spend your whole entire life just on this one tiny little passage of trying to figure out all the stuff. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us in the heavenlies. What is that? It's so rich. It's so deep. It's so you can't figure it out, but you have to believe it. So when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he was fasting for 40 days, and then the devil tempted him three different times. What did Jesus do? How did he refute the temptation? With the word. And that was Jesus. And so when our heart condemns us, and when the enemy comes and lies to us and says, you're no good, how can you serve in that ministry? And then he goes on with a list of things that you've done, which are probably true. So then what do you need to do? So the thing is, you can agree and you can say, you know what? You're right. I did do those things. But now I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've been forgiven. And now you can open up, if you don't know it by heart, you can open up the word and you can say, I am blessed. I am predestined. I am lavished with wisdom and insight. And yeah, I did do those things, but I stand on the word of God. And I give the word back. I give the word back to myself. And I give the word back to any lie that I'm getting from the devil or any other person that wants to say, well, what about this? What about that? And you know what? The people that know us the most and love us the most see us in all our unsanctified glory. Yes, you can call it. They see you in your weak states. You come to church and we all clean up pretty good on a Sunday morning. You guys got your hair done and smiles and lipstick and deodorant. And you come to church and you worship and you praise. And it's wonderful to gather together. But you know, it's when we are at home that those issues, that stuff that we're still dealing with on this side of eternity come out. And so, yeah, even people in our family can point their fingers at us and say, well, what about this, this, and this, this? And then you have to agree with them. Yeah, you're right. I did do those things. But this is who I am. This is who I really am. Because someday I'm going to be in heaven and I'm not going to have to deal with all this weakness and sin. So the first point is, in God's economy, you know who you were. You were the wretch. The person that, you know, was on their way to hell, but now standing in the righteousness of Christ, we're on our way to heaven and we're saved. So know who you are in Christ. Go to Bible study, read your word, cling on to the promises, underline, highlight, ask God. It says you don't have because you don't ask. Ask God for a scripture for the year. Ask God for a life. Ask God to show you a promise that you need to cling on to for a season that's around the bend that you don't even know is coming. And he'll give you that. If you ask, and if you spend the time, it's all about spending the time. So first thing, you know who you were, and you know who you are. Second thing, we have to take on that word that we wrote on the back of our binders, that eternal perspective. That's point number two. So let's go to Romans 8:28. I know you guys know this scripture, but we need to read it. Because for some of you, it's new. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you're saved, which you all are in this room, it says that all things can work together for good because you love God now, because you've been called according to his purpose. So it was his plan from the beginning, before the foundations of the world, that you would be saved. Because God knows everything from beginning to end. That's why we can't figure him out. That's why if we could figure him out, it would be pretty scary. You know, you don't want to follow somebody that you can figure out. And so we've got God creating the universe. I love those stickers of a proud parent. My kid made the honor roll at such and such a school. And they came out years ago. And then people started getting kind of stinkerish. And they would put, you know, my kid beat up your kid that was on the honor roll at such and such. I mean, you saw all these things. But if you could make a bumper sticker, if you could put a bumper sticker on your car, what would it say about your daddy, about your God? Think about that. If you could create a bumper sticker, what would you want to say to the rest of the world? You know, like, my daddy's the creator of the universe. You know, my dad, you know, fill that in, because it's how you feel about the Lord. He is your daddy. He is your Abba Father. You should have such a relationship with him that you praise him for the things that he's done. So, okay, as soon as I said that, some of you are fast, and some of you already have a bumper sticker in your car that you would put on your car. I want to hear a couple of bumper stickers that you would put. If you would create your own bumper sticker about my daddy, talking about our Father God, what would you put? My daddy has great promises. Okay. Anita?
My daddy paid it all.
My daddy paid it all. Okay.
You guys are missing out on my father.
Ah, okay. You guys are missing out on my father.
My daddy loves me anyway.
Okay. Donna?
Well, similar. My daddy loves me unconditionally.
Okay. All right. Andrea, in the back.
My father is all about love.
My father is all about love. Okay.
My father never lies.
My father never lies. Okay. My God saves. Okay.
My dad is awesome.
My dad is awesome.
Yeah.
Rachel?
My father bought me this car and also an
inheritance
in heaven.
Oh, my daddy bought me this car and also an inheritance in heaven. That's cute. That's cute. Beth?
My daddy's rich.
My daddy's rich.
My father's all-powerful.
My father's all-powerful. Okay, so you see that? Those are just ways to worship. Those are just ways to be creative about who we serve. Who, you know, who's your daddy? You know that. Well, ours is amazing. Absolutely. Okay. You know that it's impossible to please our daddy unless we have faith. Okay? So there's three things that we need to believe. We need to take him at his word. We have to believe that the word is the truth. We can't veer from the word. Doesn't matter what it is, teaching or preaching on any front, you got to go to the Word. And I like to listen to Christian TV. I mean, I don't have a, you know, there's funky things, you know, and but I like to listen to, I like to hear what people are saying. And you know what, the one word that keeps coming through, and you know how words kind of go through and things, but I hear everyone saying the divine yes. The divine yes. And I'm like, you have to say it like, why can't you just say, my daddy tells me in his word? Why do you have to say the divine yes? Or the, you know, they try to make it so spiritual or so trendy. You know, girls, we don't have to be trendy. I mean, I like a trend here and there, you know? But there's always staples to your wardrobe, right? The little black dress, you know, the black pumps. Whatever your staples are, you know, the navy slacks, whatever. They're staples in the Word of God, and they haven't changed since we've had the Bible. It says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same before the Bible was even written. He was the same before the earth was even created. He doesn't change. There's no changing in him. What he says he's going to do. So do I believe that? That's my choice. But it pleases my daddy if I believe the Word of God. If I believe the promises that he's given me in his word. And I live like I believe them. Not wishy-washy. And sometimes I get a little wishy-washy. And that's when the body of Christ, especially your sisters, come alongside you. And they can have faith to believe for you when you're weak. Because we all, we levels of our walk with the Lord. I mean, God doesn't change, but the way we feel and the seasons and, you know, our hormones, and we're all at different places, and but that steadiness of the Lord is the same. But when we're low, that's when we come to our sisters in the Lord. And we ask for them to believe on our behalf, because we can't believe it for ourselves. And then those prayers and that encouragement and that supernatural love that is given by the Holy Spirit through our sisters to us energizes us and gets us back on track. How many have gotten back on track because someone said, you know what, let me pray for you. Let me find out how you're really doing. And those, it's those cords of loving kindness again. God has loved us with an everlasting love. What does that mean? It means it doesn't change. It was the same before you were saved as it is on the day before you go to be with Him. On the day of your death, His love is the same. It doesn't change. We change, but He doesn't change. So we got to get back to the Word, who He is, and believe the things that He says are true. So not just believe it, but acting like we believe it. If your daddy is so awesome, you should be acting like you have an awesome daddy. You know, if your daddy is rich, that's what you believe about God. He says that in His Word. Then you need to be asking like you have a rich daddy. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Word's true, because it's real. Third thing, we need to become, well, you know, let's go back to the eternal perspective real quick. I made a list, and I think you guys can make a list too. If you have a note, if you have a thing, make a list. Things we want to take our eyes off of, and things that we want to put our eyes on, okay, with that eternal perspective. All right, so let's say if you could just take a pair of glasses and you could, come on, I should have had those cute glasses that Shelly gave one of my kids. They look like two guitars. Just the funniest things. They're two little guitar glasses. But so you get up that eternal perspective. And so let's take our eyes off, and you guys are going to help me with this. Take our eyes off our personal circumstances. Take our eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off worthless things. Worthlessness of ourself. Take our eyes off of
our failures.
Take our eyes off our problems. Take our eyes off our troubles. Take our eyes off our ourselves. Take our eyes off our own personal successes. Take our eyes off what else? Your fears. Take your eyes off your
worries.
Your worries. The cares of this world. Okay? Our insecurities. Okay. Our fears. Take our eyes off that. And what do we put our eyes onto? Okay, put our eyes onto Jesus, others, God's promises. What does it say? What does the Word of God say about how He found us? What does He say about our tears? He collects them, restores them in a bottle. Okay, what does He say about the sands of the sea? His thoughts towards us are like the sands of the sea. I mean, if you just took a little grain of sand, you couldn't even count them. And it says that His thoughts towards one individual are like the sands of the sea. If you think that nobody loves you, nobody thinks about you, oh, my husband, he never does it. You know, you have a daddy whose thoughts towards you are more than the sands of the sea. That should do something to you. That should make, it's like meat tenderizer. It should tenderize your heart that He loves you much. It says that He cares for the sparrows, that He feeds the birds. You got any of you guys feed birds? Okay. There, it's just the best thing in the world to just put some seed out there and to see the birds, and then they start fighting over the seed, and they start singing, and they start calling their friends, and before you know it, you've got, you know, 20 birds at this little bird feeder, you know, and it's so fun to feed the birds. And then I think about that song, Feed the Birds, Tuppen. Remember that one? Where was that from? Mary Poppins, yeah. Everyone feeds the birds, but you know, really God says that He takes care of the birds. If He takes care of the birds and knows when a sparrow falls, how much more is He taking care of human beings, of you, of me, of our kin, of those people that we love that are out of control, and all we can do is pray for them. His thoughts towards them are as the sands of the sea as well, because He loves humanity. He loves everyone. Not everyone's going to make it to heaven with him. But he loved everyone. That's why God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. It wasn't just for a few. It says that he doesn't want any to perish. We perish because we choose to perish. It's our choice to perish. God has given us eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we take our eyes off of ourself. The me, 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 me. Don't you get sick of yourself sometimes? You know, what am I going to eat? And what am I going to wear? And what am I going to do? Just get sick of it. It's one thing that when your kids are little and you have a lot of little kids, you don't get a lot of me, me, me. Yeah. It's all about the children. But you know what I've been noticing? I was in that for a while about all the kids, but now as my kids are getting older, and I'm getting like a little older myself and tired, it's coming back to me, me, me again. And I don't like it. You know, it's just, I need grandkids. I needed to be about the grandkids for a while. You grandmas, I'm jealous. But you know what I'm saying? We go through seasons. But you know, by nature, we're me, me, me. We're me, me, me by nature. Well, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I need? What's all about me? And so we need to move over to others. That's where freedom comes in the Word of God. Jesus came and he was a servant. And there's a couple of verses that I want to look at. Just four quick verses. To be great in God's kingdom, we've got to learn to be a servant. And God, when he came to this earth and he dwelt among man, he was a servant. And we're going to look at four points. And actually, I'd like to have a couple different ladies read. So if someone can read Matthew 18:11, who would like to read that for me? Okay. Read it. Stand up for us so we can hear it nice and loud.
For God came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has kingdom.
I am sorry. That is not the verse. Okay. 18:11. Did I say that? Oh, no. Okay. That was a verse, but not the verse.
But his son of man shall be.
There we go. Awesome. Okay. So that shows us that the Son of Man came to save, right? He came to seek that which was lost. We were the ones, actually the whole world was lost. And that's what he came to do. He came to seek and save those that were lost. Okay. We want to be like Jesus. So we want to go after the ones that are still lost, right? We want to seek them out. We want to find them. They may be living with us. They may be part of our family. They may be on our block. They may be at the workplace. They may be, who knows where they're at. But we are to go after, to seek, and to save. That's why those shirts that we have, girls, those red shirts that say the church has left the building. Love that. I love that. Well, I loved Elvis, too. And he always had that, right? Elvis has left the building. And this is, like, so much better that the church has to leave the building to go out to the people. Because that's where it's at. It's the people that are lost that we're going after. So that's how we want to become great, like Jesus was great. About Philippians 2:5-11. This is a pretty powerful. Would you like to read that? Go right ahead. Philippians 2:5-11.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But made himself nothing, and taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen. So he came to seek, he came to save the lost, and that's what we do. And then he came as a man, and that means he had to come humbly. And you know, girls, we got to walk humbly before our God. If we walk humbly, he'll lift us up. So there's all kinds of ways to walk humbly. But one thing I saw that you girls, you're trying to grasp it just by doing that butterfly dance. That was a humiliating dance if I ever saw one. But you know what? It levels the playing field. You know? It's just, I'm just going to say it, you know, we just don't have to be cool. We don't have to be the in crowd. We don't have to be the trendiest. We don't have to have it all together. Because you know what? That actually doesn't attract that many people. It's when you walk in humility, and when you walk in love, and when you walk in service, and when you walk in humbleness, and when you look to serve those that are around you, that is what's beautiful to others. It's beautiful in the sight of the Lord, but it's beautiful to others. Because you know what? They know, like what we knew before we knew Jesus, is that it was all about me, 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 me. And all of a sudden, it's not, someone else is acting like it's not about them. And they're nice. And they give me things, and I don't deserve it. And they tell me that they'll pray for me. And they, you know what I'm saying? And they smile at me. And they can't figure it out. And it's because we're walking humbly before our God, because we know that we've been forgiven. And that we know that, but we're but dust, and that we really should be on our way home. So graciously graced us with His love and His mercy and His forgiveness, and His, that is so amazing that we want to walk humbly among our sisters. Amen? Have you ever been in a place where you just felt like you didn't fit in? You just didn't have the right words or the right clothes or the right look or the right... just felt uncomfortable. And then you get around the body of Christ and like you're just loved for who you are, and they don't even ask you like where you work, because they don't even really care. You're just at church and they love you. You know? It's not like the world. The world wants to know where you went to school and how much money you make and where you live and what kind of car you drive and you know, all these things that make you look good on the outside. But you know, in the whole scheme of life, does it really matter? Does it really matter? You know? We're passing through. We're pilgrims. You're going to leave it to someone when you leave anyways. So let's just love each other. Let's just accept each other for who we are. I'm sure we've all had very embarrassing, humbling situations, but about a month ago, I had the most humiliating thing. I had this huge pimple on my face. And it was so huge. And I just thought, Lord, why? But I have a pimple. I don't get it. It just shouldn't be, you know? And even my kids said, Mom, do you have a pimple? And I thought, oh, even the kids are noticing. It's bad, you know? And you try to cover it up, but, you know, our bodies are breaking down and they're falling apart. And it's okay. It is really okay. You know, sometimes you see, and I'm sure you guys have seen this, but you sometimes you see men and they have sandals on and they wear like dark socks with their sandals. It's just not right. But you know what? We just got to walk humbly with each other, right? We got to walk humbly and we just say, you know what? It's okay. It's really okay. And all of us that have older children that want to dress us, and we put something on, and they just say, Mom, really? Vests have been out like since the 80s. But I like them. And now that I'm old, I get to wear whatever I want. But you know, you get more of, and that's the one nice thing about being older, is that, you know, you just get more of a sense of yourself, you know, the things that you're comfortable in, and you just begin to, like, accept yourself, and it's great, but it's because it's in the Lord, because He's so great, and He loves us, and it's finally, like, after all these years of Him loving us, it's like we finally start to learn to, well, you know what? I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, but God loves me. And you know what? I'm going to wear dark socks with my sandals. And it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore. Okay, let's look at John 13:12. I want someone else to read that for me. Anybody want you raise your hand so I can see you want to read that? Okay. Natalie, John
13:12. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?"
What had Jesus done when he washed the feet of the disciples? He humbled himself, because that was something that the servants did. And we don't really have anything like that right now. You know, they had dusty roads. They had, you know, funky sandals. You know, they didn't have deodorant. You know, they didn't have the kind of soap that we have. I mean, their feet were dirty. You can feel better after you have a nice little foot washing before you go to bed at night. Yeah, and sometimes I you know, it was funny when we had the Bible study with Beth Moore, and she talked about her daughters putting their feet in the bath and washing their feet. And, you know, I do that. I'll run the bath for my husband and I. And I put a little bubbles in it, and we'll wash our feet before we go to bed. It just feels, you don't have to wash your whole body, just the feet. And, you know, Jesus came and he served, and he gave the example, and the example was be a servant. And, you know, what are ways that we can serve one another as women? And that's what I want to spend a couple minutes on. What are ways either that you've been served? Let's do it that way instead of the things that you've done. What are ways that you have been served by someone else? Someone was a servant to you. Pat?
After I had surgery, my aunt came, as well as other sisters.
Take care of me.
Wow. After you had your breast cancer surgery?
Then we go to the ladies' room.
Serve me.
They served you. Amen.
After my mom passed away, I had the service at the local Anglican church at the reception.
That, you know what, that really, girls, that is one of the hugest ministries. You don't even get it until you lose somebody. And when you lose someone and you just can't even think about the service barely, and what people are going to eat is not even on your mind, and the body of Christ comes and provides that, wow, that is amazing, Debbie. That's amazing.
When I came home after my chemotherapy treatment, my sister
they cleaned your house for you, top to bottom, after you came home. Wow. Wow. When someone offers to take the kids. Yeah. Have I done that lately? I'm sorry if I haven't done that lately. But I do love you, and I do love your kids. You know. Okay.
My daughter's really been to my children. All my dreams have. And then Rebecca serving me coffee at your Bible study. I was just like, you know, just
feeling it. Anita?
My pastor's wife washed my feet.
There we go. I like her. Whoever she is.
Oh.
Say that again.
My husband brings my coffee to me in the morning.
He brings your coffee to you in the morning. Oh, that's precious. That's precious. Francis? Their prayers lifted you when you had Amen. Donna?
When Shani was little, Catherine and Alfonso, remember them?
Yes.
She offered her husband to watch Sean so I could come on retreat. And I said, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" She said, "Well, of course, my husband will do it. He'll watch Sean and me so I can come on retreat."
That's a blessing. Okay, so just, oh, okay. You don't want to miss you, Banshee?
Your
pastor,
we were working with her, and she came up to my house.
That was a blessing.
Wow.
dinner, yeah. You know what, that's, I'll tell you girls, you know what, just a simple pizza. Just, you don't even have to make it. I mean, a lot of us don't even have the time to make it, but, you know, a pizza, a Chinese food, something that you deliver to someone when they're sick, when they've had a baby, when there's been a surgery, it's amazing. He cleans your kitchen. Okay, okay.
Tougher 2,000 years ago, but you know what? They're still tough.
There's still all kinds of things. I was trying to explain it the other day to my son and my husband, and they didn't, they just can't understand. But for a woman, we're always looking behind us. Because we don't want to be attacked, and we don't want to be raped, and we don't want to be taken advantage of, and we park underneath lights, and we carry our keys in our hand, and we're always, because we live in a wicked world. And we don't like to go out too late by ourselves, or we take someone with us. We check the back seat before we get into the car. I mean, why? Because there's evil out there. And you know, men kind of walk around with and it doesn't affect them as much. I mean, yes, it affects some things, but I'm just saying, on an overall thing, life is still tough for women. That should make us even bind together tighter and stronger, and that we have each other's back. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. That we're looking out for one another. And if you know you have a Christian sister that's alone or single, and come alongside her. Come alongside her. That's what Jesus would do. He came alongside the woman at the well. Let's look at that. That's in John chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. Who'd like to read that?
The woman at the well, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink."
And so we know that story where the woman at the well came down, and what did Jesus do? He met her where she was at. He told her the truth about herself. She agreed. You're right. And then he gave her, he said, "You can thirst no more. Take drink of the eternal water." What is this? I'm thirsty. I want that water. See, those were the things that I was trying to explain to you last night. He had these encounters with people, and he would speak truth to them, but they still didn't have the whole picture. The whole picture hadn't really been revealed yet. And even until Jesus came back and gave those Bible studies where he pulled all the scriptures together from the Old Testament and revealed those things to his followers, his close followers, and then they went out and spread the good news. I met a man, I met a prophet, he told me things about myself that no one could have known. It was, but the truth was there, and he met her where she was at. Was she an adulterer? Yeah. Why was she getting water at the time she was getting water at? Because I'm sure she couldn't go out at the regular time with the other women. Would have had her hide. Nobody talked to her. She didn't have any friends. She was unacceptable. She was because of her circumstance. And I think sometimes we feel like that. We feel like we're untouchable. We've done this thing or that thing or whatever. And you know what? The Lord's been forgiven, and Christ is a clean slate. It's a clean slate. And we need to treat each other like we've all been forgiven with a clean slate. Right? That's the preciousness. That's the preciousness. That's the heart of the Lord. To just take a person just how you see them and love them right where they're at. And not think about anything else except, I just want to love them in the will of the Lord. I think if we follow those four things, like Jesus, we're going to be ahead of the game, obviously. Okay, one last thing I want to share with you. Do you guys know about exchange rates? So if you have a dollar and you take that dollar to Mexico, how much is the exchange rate? Does anyone know? Yeah, in Mexico. What's the exchange rate?
$11.50.
So what would a dollar bill be worth in Mexico?
$11.50
or 11 pesos. Okay, so you have this exchange rate. There's an exchange rate in the Bible, and Jesus's change rate is like 100%, or even more than that, because he takes the ugly, rotten, filthy rags that I'm wearing, and he exchanges them for what? Robes of righteousness. Right? Who else can do that? Who else can take away your shame?
The blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus is right. Amen. That's one of my favorite lines. You know, yeah, we have pain. Yeah, we have, but you know, people hurt us. We get hurt. We have anger issues and we have hurt feelings. We have, you know, but you know, shame you caused yourself. Those are the sins that don't have anything to do with anybody else but you. And you're shamed by what you've done. And yet the Lord forgives you and He puts those robes of righteousness on you. And again, you know, like we watched that little tiny video, that was such a cool video about the little chrysalis. That little hard shell thing that they make in, what, 2 minutes? They make this thing and then they're in it and then they dissolve and they come out as a butterfly. I mean, you can't figure it out. How does that happen? Supernatural. It's a miracle. Butterflies are a miracle. And that's what you guys are. You guys have been transformed. This whole thing about hopefully you'll never ever look at a butterfly the same. But you'll have a deeper understanding of God's taken you, this ugly, fat larva, caterpillar that was just eating the milkweed and getting fat, looking ugly. And I mean, they're ugly. Come on. They're ugly. You know? And they eat so much, and they just get, and then God transforms them into this butterfly, and that's truly the transforming power that God has to take your life, what it was, and to turn it into what He wants it to be. And you know what? Butterflies, they have to be in the sun, they warm up, and then they start to spread their wings before they can fly. And you know what? Some of you guys are just warming up right now, and some of you guys are already out there soaring, but it doesn't matter where you're at. In that range, you're still transformed. You're a new creature in Christ. And His exchange rate is amazing. He takes the hard, stony, ugly heart and He makes it soft and pliable and beautiful in His sight. And again, I don't know what we're going to look like when we're in heaven. We're just going to maybe be shadows of ourselves, but we're going to recognize each other. We're going to have these friendships in heaven. I asked someone to be my neighbor in heaven. Who was that? Was that Angie? That was you, wasn't it? I love her. I want to be next to her when I'm because she always has such a gentle, soft word, doesn't she? She has a walk with the Lord that's very, very tender and very gentle. And I'm kind of like more of like a bruiser. And you know, I like to be like those gentle butterfly women. So I want to be by her. I also want to be roommates with my husband. I know that there's no giving in marriage, but I told him I still want to be with you when we're in heaven somehow. I don't know how that's going to work out, but put my request in, I guess. But you know, it's just, you know, we just want to love each other. Describe it any other way, but God this weekend wanted to reveal Himself and tell you what He's like. He's your daddy. That's amazing. That He has amazing grace. That He has amazing promises. That He has amazing forgiveness. That He's given you amazing choices. He's given you amazing opportunities. He's given you amazing grace. He's given you His amazing power to live this life. And to live it abundantly and to enjoy it and to enjoy the fellowship with sisters in the Lord and to be loving and kind and to show you the way by showing you His Son. You know, it says God is a spirit. We can't see God. Even when we get to heaven, we're not going to see God. He's a spirit. God is spirit. Those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. But we are going to see Jesus, and it says that we're going to see the scars and the nails and the piercings and all that He went through for us. And we're going to want to serve Him. And the things, girls, that you do here on this side of eternity are going to enable you to do what He wants you to do in eternity. So whatever you do on this side of eternity, you do it as unto the Lord, to the best of your ability, whether you're a mom, whether you're a grandma, whatever kind of worker you are, whatever kind of job you have, whatever you do, those skills that you have, those gifts that you've been given, they're not just for you. You use them here for His kingdom, but He's going to use you again on the other side of eternity, because in the millennium it says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. What does that mean? That means we're going to be busy. We're going to be doing something. We're going to be busy. What are we going to be doing? I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be selling you your mansion. I don't know what's going to happen. But whatever we do, we're going to be doing it for the Lord. So let's get busy about His things. Let's have the heart to seek and to save those that are lost. The things that we do, the outreaches that we have in the women's ministry, giving out clothes and giving out salvation. We had so many women accept the Lord. I don't even remember what the number was. We had a lot of ladies when we gave out the clothes, you guys. Things that were, we did the So Gently Worn outreach. How many ladies got saved? It was amazing.
It's like 30.
Yeah, a lot. That's what we want to be about. So when we have outreaches, when we have a retreat next year, you guys will already be thinking next year, who am I going to invite? Who am I going to be working on all this year? Maybe I just can't save up money for myself. I need to save up money for two people, because I'm going to pay for whoever it is that gets to come with me. And think in advance. Prepare in advance for the things that the Lord wants to do. The next outreach that we have for the ladies, the things that we do in the summertime, invite someone. Be busy about salvation, the things of the Lord. That's what He wants. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He came humbly. He came to serve. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you serve. Right? If God takes the things that confound the world, He takes the weak, base, unholy vessels, vessels for dishonor, and He changes them into vessels of honor, and people can't figure it out. They can't figure you out. Why are you so happy? Why, even though all these bad things are happening to you, do you have the joy of the Lord? They can't figure you out. Why? Why aren't you so upset that you lost your home? Why aren't you so upset that this or that thing happened to you? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. They got to see a change. He changes us from those ugly vessels into vessels that He can use, because He's the master potter, and He reshapes you. And He may have to take that clay down. But whatever He reshapes you into be is what He wants you to be, and it's beautiful. You're beautiful women in His sight. You're loved. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're lavished with all spiritual blessings. Do you feel it? Do you believe it? Believe it and act like it. Act like what you believe about your daddy. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, I want to behave, Lord, like your daughter that knows how merciful and gracious and forgiving you are, Lord. You have forgiven me for so much, and I'm eternally grateful, God, that I get to spend eternity with you. It's a privilege, Lord, to serve you and to love the women. And I pray that the fellowship, God, that we have with one another, that was established here on this retreat, the working together, we worked together so good, God. I hope that you were blessed and pleased. May that continue. May that grow. May the love we have for one another draw so many women into our church that we can love and nurture and train up in your word, Lord God. May we be women, Lord, that are forgiving and that are gracious to one another. May we honor you, Lord, in the way we feel about one another and the way that we love in our actions. And may we believe your word, God. We don't want to be hard of heart. We want to believe and please you, God. Without faith, it's impossible to believe. Without the belief, it's impossible to have the faith. The faith pleases you. We want to have faith. We want to believe your word and its promises. They're true. They're right. They're just. They're holy. And we stand on them. And we place our eternity, Lord. We cling on to this book, Lord. It's going to get us to heaven. And we believe it. And we thank you for it. We thank you for what you've done this weekend. You are faithful again, God. You are true, and you have the preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, one thing before we take off that I want to make sure that we do is I want to give ladies the opportunity this morning to testify. And we don't have a lot of time to do that, but I did talk with Pastor Brian, and he asked me last night very late last night. He asked me if we would be willing to basically do the service on Wednesday night and to share with the rest of the body, the women who weren't there, the women that stayed because they took care of our kids in Sunday school, and, you know, everybody could be with us, but to bless them and to just give glory to the Lord for what He accomplished on a Wednesday, for Wednesday night service. So I wanted to ask you, is that something that you would be interested in doing? I mean, we have to have a table. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to have a table with all the things that you ladies created, the beautiful things that you did, the cookies, the chocolate, the gifts, the bags. I want them to see what God provided for His daughters on retreat. And then we have to have ladies that would come and speak and share what God has done. A good work. And I'm really, I don't want it to be so much about us, but I want it to be about the Lord, that what we learned about God's amazing attributes and His character. And then, you know, a little bit maybe what He did with us. But is that something that you would be interested in doing? Absolutely. We would be in charge of using the songs that we did here, the songs that we sang at worship.
Yes.
I mean, really like doing the service.
Yes.
Okay, so I need thumbs up or thumbs down? Okay, good, because I already told them yes. The connection, and will be blessed by what they get to experience. So, okay, good. I'm so excited. Yes. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. If you have your shirt or your sweatshirt, you could wear that. That would be great. Okay. Excellent. I like that idea. Any other ideas that we could think of? Oh yeah, our backdrop. Everything. Yeah. We'll do the whole thing. You know, now I'll tell you something that's really funny. When we were young, 25 years ago, when we started the retreats, we were young. And what we would do is we would do retreat all weekend. And then we would come back to church and we would do the Sunday night service.
Wow.
We had the energy back then. We were young. So the Lord is gracing us that even though we're 25 years older, we get to do the Wednesday service, so we get to sleep and get energized again before we come together on Wednesday. So it's something that we have done in the past, but we haven't done it for many years. I would say we probably haven't done it for 15 years. So it's going to be exciting to be there on Wednesday night. So let's get there early. Let's hold hands. Let's pray. Let's be up in the front. Be worshiping to the songs that we've been worshiping to, and just, it's going to give everyone a break. It's going to give worship team a break. It's going to give, you know, Pastor Brian a break, because the ladies are going to get up there. We're going to share. It's going to be awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay. But some of you will not be able to be there on Wednesday. Some of you either don't go to our church, or you have churches at your own church on Wednesday night or whatever. So I would like to give you the opportunity this morning to share your testimony. If you feel like the Lord's done a work, He's in your, He's done a good thing. Everyone has, but let's give those ladies the chance first. So if you would like to share this morning with the ladies, I need you to stand up and share nice and loud something that the Lord has done for you. Okay?
Briefly, I wasn't planning to do this. I had made retreats in the past and things always happened. So this retreat wasn't an option for me. Was even a consideration. And there's Anita, Lori, and Donna, and a couple of ladies just pulled me to the table. You know, and then I had Denise by me. Denise spent the first $25 down. I was blessed by Lisa and Charlie. They took 80 down the day of the fundraiser. And I was just sponsored by the rest. And I got here and I thought, okay, and the day before, I don't know who I spoke to, Michelle, wherever you are. Yeah, I almost did the show. I have the double attack, really bad. I mean, it was a huge attack. And we talked. Thank you. At first it wasn't what I expected. I expected constant word, learning, and in-depth, you know, refresh memory. And, you know, I really wasn't looking for testimony. I was looking for God, Jesus, free-seeking, rededication. And I got all that yesterday with you. I got on the phone with my husband, and I'm like, I found it. It made everything that I wasn't looking for abundant, and I'm completely blessed with all the women I didn't know I wanted it. The women I knew, you know, if I never had a family, I'd follow today.
Amen. There you go. That's how we need to feel, because this is our family. You know, you come into the body of Christ and we don't get to pick and choose. It's our family. Like Brian says, we are one big dysfunctional family. We love each other. We love each other. Warts and all. Anyone else? Oh, okay. Pam.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Most of you know me, and you probably wonder how I just show up at your retreats. Or I show up in a sermon, and maybe think that that's the only time I go to church, and it's not for your prayers. The rest I'm sure it's not. This ministry and for your women. And I'm thankful for your pastor's wife, and I'm thankful for the ministry and what they do. And when I come to retreat, I come inquiring of the Lord. And every year, he is faithful to answer those same questions that I place before him. I come very seriously, although it might appear not, but I'm serious in my worship of the Lord. I'm serious of the Bible studies and the word that he says. But I just wanted to share that I think we are entering into times that are going to be very, very interesting for the church and for all of us. And I really felt that this weekend the Lord had really shared something with us. And we don't always understand the word that comes in, how it's going to be used into the future. But as we sat and listened through the studies on grace, there will be times where his grace will be sufficient for us, and we need to give grace. We talked about faithfulness and trials, and I really believe that there will be trials coming. And having that word in our hearts and having it so dear, that rock that's so solidly placed, that we will be able to endure these trials. And just as Lisa shared, just walking a walk of faith and calling upon the Holy Spirit and walking in that power, I really feel, and I just want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for your prayers. I covet those prayers, and I am blessed by your prayers. And I know that I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for your prayers. And the pastor's wife's prayers for me and personally. What a blessing that we have that for each other, and we can serve each other in that way. Anyway, I just want to say I love all of you. I love each and every one of you, everyone that I've been able to talk with and share with, and thank you for what you've done, Dad. If I could tell you what God has done in my life these last 3 years, I mostly pray for my people. I'd be glad to share all of that another time. But it is changing our perspective. And God has taken my stumbling block because I thought it was Him. And the Lord most assuredly showed me my heart needs to change towards my blessing. And God has done this amazing work in our lives. Thank you for your
letter.
Thank you for your prayer.
Yes. You know, I go to the Calvary Chapel of Cyprus. And I have served many years. Many years. And I had designed this.
The way I heard about this retreat is we go to El Monte, it's called the Vesta, and I have been in church. I got saved in 1995. And you know, when you first get saved, you're just on fire. You just want to go out on the streets and you just want to share the gospel with everyone. And it's like that first love that you get when you first get saved. You just want to do anything. You just want to go read scriptures that you want. So as life has been, what, 11 years? Or no, 16 years. I was feeling like, well, I want that first love. You know, I want to go back to where I want to share with anybody. And this retreat had been announced at our church. And I was like, well, I don't have money. You know, because we're paying bills. We have kids galore coming from every angle. So I was like, well, Lord, if you want to do it, Lord, you can always use those. And my husband ended up paying. So I was like, on, and the last time I've been here was about 10 years ago with Lucy. And we had a ball, so it's kind of like you're still hanging out with your sisters and just being dorks together. All the sisters laugh all night. We sat with two sisters over there. It was just, we had an amazing time. We were like, you know, and you can be yourself. You don't have to, you know, come in with a mask. You be yourself and be that sister, that good sister that loves each other.
Amen.
Through Christ.
Amen.
So it was an awesome time, and I really enjoyed being here, and I pray next year we'll be here too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Praise the Lord, because the Lord has given a word to my sister here, and that's the reason why he brought her here. Just to give me a word. She gave me Isaiah 40. I've been just struggling with my faith, and I was delivered from oppression last night.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just want to thank him for his power, his assurance that I am a child of God, mm-hmm. and he would never leave me or forsake me. And we are here for just a purpose. And I thank you just for your obedience and keeping me what he asked you. And thank you for that. And it's Isaiah 40. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is forgiven. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we serve an amazing God, and I'm just so blessed, just so filled, just so ready to go out there and just do what he has.
Wonderful.
And I just want to encourage the single woman that is out there that the Lord has awesome plans for you. Just wait upon the Lord, and he has something marvelous for you, because he promised me. And I hang on to his promises.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for all you single women, because I can relate. And if the Lord promised me, and I said, I'm hanging to that promise, because then I might pray for you. Can I see a hand of the single ladies here today? And if you have a desire, guess what? The Lord will give you the desire of your heart, that says the Lord. You know, believe it and hang on to it and just act upon it. You know, just wait, and he will bless you abundantly and blow your mind.
Amen.
And I know, I just want to say to Elvia, you did such a great job with the taco sale, because that made a lot of money that put a lot of money towards it.
So excited. I don't know any of you by name, but I love all of you.
Amen.
This retreat with specific goals in mind, and I'm a part of Andy is my cousin, Calvary Chapel Crenshaw. We are so thankful that we came, and we'll have more women come back next year. But I came to this retreat with goals for myself to be renewed, to be restored, to be replenished. Anything you can think of with re and add something. I wanted to feel God's awesome love and to be in that perfect center of His will, because I know what that feels like, and I haven't been there in so long, but I'm back there.
Woo!
And I thank all of you. All of you do, which reminds me so much of my husband, and I just love it. Dear God, for having the mercy that you've given me.
the grace that abounds. When you have a friend, this is what Jesus said, doesn't matter if you say it or not. Go to them and be single, because they are so alone. They feel so alone as if there's no care in the world for them. Divorce is very painful, but it's the devil's lies at home. You fail. And we have nothing. There's nothing. God loves us and just prays us to let him know. Embracing us, embracing our lives, embracing whomever we touch to spread this word. And just keep strong and strengthened in faith and reach out to those that are hurting them. You know, because we need that. You know, my partner was Olga. She would call at the opportune time. I was just feeling so low and dead. I'm praying for your refuge to pray. She would pray on the phone. It was that one prayer. Another kick. Okay, I can face tomorrow. You know, so please, you know, for those women who are out there who've been through this experience, God bless you. He loves you. Keep moving forward. Press on for your goal. For those of you who know women who are alone and going through this, please reach out. There may be times when they feel they don't want to be talked to, but it's because it's the pain that they're going through. And we can then help them by giving them Christ.
I love having you here, Ruth. It's awesome. Anyone else that you just can't stand it? You just have to stand up and share? Okay, here we go.
Photograph that you want, please help yourself to it. That doesn't include the stand, doesn't include the flowers, just the photograph and the frame. So help yourself and take it home, okay?
Okay, good.
There's some of the things I could say that's really
awesome. Absolutely. You know, there's a sisterhood that no one can take it away from us. And even my girlfriend that came sharing and shared with you, I mean, was that a radical testimony?
Wow.
Her husband being crushed by a crane. I mean, it's almost like unbelievable. And yet still walking with the Lord, still staying strong, all, you know, and I just, you know, I know that she's been going through this. She's got to come and share it. It's something that the Lord's doing. That's amazing. And again, it puts it in perspective. We get, you know, we think, oh, this thing is so great, or this thing is so, and then it's not unto death. Unto death is a whole totally different scenario. So I think that those friendships that we have, our friendship will grow, our churches together, and all the other churches that are here, they're going to continue to grow. And, you know, we're going to see great increase because it's the last days and people need Jesus. And women who, you know, need that experience of a retreat, those of us that have come on a retreat, we don't know how blessed we are. We go to these retreats and we get refreshed and renewed and we get to spend time with our girlfriends. And there are women that have never, ever, ever gone on one. And so let's get them and grab a hold of them, because once you go to one, you want to keep coming because they're so wonderful and you're so blessed. So we'll, it's next year. They used to say, you'd have to say, what, next year in Jerusalem? Next year in Marietta. Anyone else? Oh, Rachel.
This is my first time here, and I've been here 45 anniversary, and 25 this year. I don't really have a big testimony except that I've never been to one, so I didn't know what to expect. But I remember when I was a little kid and we left home with my dad and my mom would go to the retreat and we're like, yay, mom's gone, we can do whatever you want. I was like, you know, why is she going? And like, you know, I didn't want to like intrude on her like time away from the family, so I didn't know if I should come or not. But now I went with my mom and I had a great time, and we got our sweatshirts and our shirts, and it's actually a lot different. I thought maybe we would just like hang out or pull in the spa and every day, but it's also been, I'm glad that my mom has been going every year, and that she's been getting the word, and I didn't know that was what would happen. I thought my mom was just born again. I thought it was a born away from her family. It really helped them to be strong in the Lord when times were bad, and my dad was falling or something like that. And so it was good that my mom was refreshed by all the women here, and it is helping me too, so now I can go back and come to my husband and be a better woman to him. And realize that, you know, some things that in my marriage might not be working because of me, not because of him, that she was saying. So it's really a good perspective on ourselves and how we can look at ourselves and treat others as we go home tonight. And that's all I wanted to say.
Praise God. Now Jonathan's going to think you're on vacation. The Lord did a good work. You guys are amazing women, and we just want to close in prayer, and we definitely want to do our which song? We have so many good songs. You have a special announcement. Okay. You're having twins.
Okay.
that's Angie's writing. I can tell. I know you girls are writing. To Lisa, with our love from your sisters in Christ, celebrating 25 years of God's faithfulness. Movie tickets. Okay, my husband loves to go to the movies, and so that is an awesome. What is it? A readmission ticket. They're movie tickets. Okay. Pastor Brian would be so happy. He'll want to go tonight. He brings out the kids all weekend. Okay, now I can. For a special weekend getaway. Oh, with my honey. Oh, we need that, girls. That is a perfect, that's a wonderful, perfect things that are in our hearts those requests that we don't even speak them sometimes, Lord, and yet you're so gracious to answer them because you know everything about us. Lord, your faithfulness, your greatness, your creativity, your grace, your power, all the things, Lord, that we've learned about this weekend, Father, your words are true and we believe them, and we want to be women that operate, Lord, in faith. And are challenged by the scriptures, and we want to be like you, Jesus. We want to serve, and we want to be humble, and we want to be just laid low before you, God. We want to be humble so that you can lift us up and use us. And the privilege of being used is so great. So go before us. You have saved us. You have filled us with your Holy Spirit. You have chosen us to be your ambassadors, God. May we go out with joy. Just like Isaiah 55 said, be led forth with peace. We're going to praise you. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And every good work, Lord God, that you've accomplished, we give you the glory for. Thank you for meeting us here. Meet us again next year, Lord. If you don't come back, Jesus, may we meet together threefold, Lord God, with the work that you want to continue to accomplish in the lives of ladies. Continue to transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.